Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes. Without the ads.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Hello and welcome to the Red Men TV. It is the Transfer Insight Show with goals, Neil Jones. Neil, thank you very much for joining us. I'm going to start us off, right? Before I do, do get involved. It's the last week of that competition for the Hendo 10 box. It's absolutely brilliant. Neil, you had one?
I had one, yeah. Really good. Really
brilliant?
Good. Yeah. Brilliant. Whatever you need, whatever Hendo 10 stuff you need is in that box.
It's all there. It's all there. It's literally all the stuff that we do. We'll hopefully be having the DVD coming out on sale in a couple of weeks because people have been asking us and pecking our heads about it enough on social media. So keep your eyes peeled to the channel for that one. I'm going to start us off with a comment from Har Carver who said, can we please, please, please stop talking about Mbappe? It was never going to happen. It won't ever happen. It's a pure waste of time, which leads me really well into my first topic, which is Mbappe. Now, yeah. To be fair to myself here, my agenda says, can we put the Mbappe rumours to bed?
Well, what rumours? The rumour is just that it's
just a rumour.
It's just a rumour, yeah. I mean, look, it looks like he's going to Real Madrid, doesn't it? Either this summer or next. I find it incredible. And, you know, we could do the whole other show on the financial skullduggery of European football clubs and Real Madrid being chief among them.
Are they like 1.2 billion in debt?
Yeah, I mean, them and Barcelona, you know, the debts of a continent, essentially. But they look like they want to make a move this summer. It looks like Mbappe wants to go. I think Leonardo, the PSG sporting director, said as much. They then incredibly went on to accuse Real Madrid of, you know, bad behaviour in the transfer market.
PSG, yeah, you've just signed a load of world-class talent for free and you're telling me no tapping up was involved in that?
Who signed Lionel Messi, 48 hours after it was revealed that he wasn't going to renew his contract at Barcelona?
I mean, Ramos. I mean, they were all free. It was like 200, 300 million, 400, 500 million pounds worth of player for free they got.
Yeah, incredible. But yeah, it looks like Mbappe's going to Real Madrid and I don't need me to put the rumour to bed there on Liverpool. That'll do it for me, unfortunately. Shame, innit?
It is a shame because, I mean, I've said this to you before. I think him and Haaland are as good at just easy money for 10 years. Yeah. Like, barring an injury, they are as close to the perfect forward for the next 10 years as you're going to get. I don't see any reason why any of them would stop getting better and better. And, you know, I think those two, in 5 years' time, we'll be talking about them two as the best two players in world football.
Well, that's sort of the understandable bit of Real Madrid, isn't it? This summer, you know, you can get them for nothing. We're saying nothing, obviously, get them for mega salary and signing on fee and all agents fees and all that next summer. Or you can pay 160 million euros or more than that, 180 million euros potentially this summer just to get him 12 months early. But he's that good. He might be the difference between winning La Liga, the Champions League. He could be that good. And as you say, he is going to be the icon of whichever team he ends up at, most likely Real Madrid, for the next decade or more. And yeah,
if you were in Real Madrid's shoes, I think the 160 million is massive. But like, PSG are really well set up for a Champions League run. Like, are you paying that now to almost go, well, in case he wins the Champions League, he might want to leave?
Yeah, possibly. And, you know, I think as well, there's a lot more to play, but, you know, imagine Messi, Neymar and him just click as a three, and all of a sudden it's like, well, I'm not leaving this.
You know, this,
like,
is fun.
This is incredible. Yeah, you know, we saw it, Suarez, Neymar and Messi, didn't we, for what, couple of seasons of Barcelona, and now it felt like, why would you ever want anything else other than that? So yeah, probably there is a bit of that, but I think the word seems to be, and I've spoken to a few people, you know, with French leanings, is that I think Mbappe's sort of ready to take the Cristiano Ronaldo route a little bit and just, you know, be the big dog instead of being Neymar's sidekick or Messi's sidekick or both of their sidekicks. I think he's ready to be the sort of the centrepiece of a club, and, you know,
gutted
for all the Liverpool leanings and all the Liverpool love. You know, if you are of that inclination of being a superstar, Real Madrid's probably the best place historically to be that. You know, that's where the Galacticos emerged, and yeah, it looks like he's going to be there.
Yeah. Do you think there was ever a world where we had the dough for him?
Possibly next summer. Possibly. I mean, look, you know,
wages
is incredible, isn't it? And it distorts everything else, then, doesn't it? Obviously, because Liverpool have got some players who are delivering pretty high level. It's not like when Mbappe went to PSG, where he was sort of, he was going in there to elevate that club. He would do that at a Liverpool or a Man City or a Chelsea or a whoever, but he would be going into a side that's already being very successful at Liverpool. And if you're going to be giving him double what anyone else is on, then that would make a difference, obviously, to the dynamic of the squad. But I think Liverpool, I think they might have been able to do some sort of sums to get close to,
you
it.
Know what?
But I always think
my mental arithmetic. My mental arithmetic goes like this, right? You pay him £500,000 a year, a week. Sorry, yeah, that would be good.
Be great,
that would
yeah,
be a better way of doing it. Actually,
if he's up for it, yeah, let's go.
You pay
I'll
him
£500,000
a week. You give him what's that? £26 million a year. £26 million over 5 years is £130 million or something like that. Then that's his transfer fee.
Yeah.
And you're only doing that in wages.
Yeah.
Now it's the dynamic to the squad that's the big thing. If there is no transfer fee attached, it's £130 million for 5 years. Well, we've just seen Lukaku been bought for £100 million plus his wages of probably £300,000 a week.
Yeah.
So actually, if you get him for free, it might be doable if Liverpool had £100 million to spend on a footballer.
Yeah.
Because what we're doing anyway is we're shelling out £100 million over 5 years or 3 years when we do these deals anyway.
I think there was no way Liverpool were going to spend the transfer fee on him and the wages. The only way they were would be in that sense. Or, I mean, I know it's going back, but had they got him from Monaco? You know, that was when Liverpool might have had
Henry got him on a plane or something, didn't he, for a couple of hours? The rumour was.
I heard that, to be fair, yeah.
Back in 2017, there was a rumour going around.
I mean, there was a rumour around that time. I think it came from within Liverpool, the club, that they were asked to be in the conversation around it. But I think there was never, he was always going to Paris Saint-Germain. You know, I think he's pretty, got a good idea of where his career was going to go from a very young age. He was a superstar at 17, wasn't he? That Champions League season with Monaco, when he reached the semi-final,
yeah.
Didn't he?
And Fabinho was in that side, of course.
Fabinho, well, so many great players in that side. Bernardo Silva was in that side, wasn't he? I think Falcao, Bakayoko, Mendy, who didn't really do it in the Premier League, moved on, but that was some side that they had. I think he's always, I think Real Madrid's always been the sort of, the one where you expect them to go, really. You like to dream about him coming to Anfield, and you like to think about, put those 11s together, how does he fit in with Salah and blah, blah, blah. But I think it was Real Madrid.
That's a shame. Anyway, yeah. We've gone from the highs of Kylian Mbappe talk.
It's 15 minutes, by the way. The question was, can we stop talking about Mbappe?
Sorry about that. That's my bad. Shea Ojo looks like he's going to leave, according to Neil Jones.
Yes.
On goal.
Yeah, I wouldn't believe him, to be fair. What insight's he got? Yeah, exactly. But that's not a huge sort of bombshell to anyone. I watched him on Monday, played for the 23s. He's 24, he played for the under 23s. Scored, did well. By all accounts, had a pretty good summer in terms of his attitude, his training, and
that must be difficult when you're being one of the overage players in the 23s.
Very, very, especially like when you. It's not like, you know, Ben Woodburn, for example. Ben Woodburn's had a lot of injuries, not really played a lot of football, and he comes back and plays 23s, and you think, okay, you're getting some games. Shea Ojo's played 160 games, professional games, more than 160 games. You know, he played 30-odd for Cardiff last season. So it's not like, he's not this sort of prospect that's been in the academy for years and not really kicked on. He's been out and done some good things on loan. He's been at Fulham, he's been at, you know, Wigan and Wolves and Rangers and been in France. So he has got some pedigree in the game. So it's a tough summer for him to be there. You know, didn't go on the tour or the camp, should I say. And in all respect, you look at it and you say, well, Matias Musilovsky was on that tour in the first, few weeks of it. Where was Kate? Where was Shea? You know, Tyler Morton was on the tour. I know he's a different, plays a different position, but I think I think he would have expected to have got the nod. Ben was on the, like I say, he was there. So it's a difficult one. And I think it does reflect really well on him that he hasn't, I don't want to use, it's a bad phrase, but he hasn't tossed it off this summer and said, no, I'm not in, you know, like, get me out of here. He's actually put a knuckle down. I watched him in a friendly at Kirby against Carnarvon Town. He scored, did miss a penalty, but he was playing properly. He wasn't strolling around. Same on Monday against Everton up at Southport, a young Everton side, obviously, and a comfortable win, but he was playing properly, like I say. And I think it's time now, 24, for him to go and do a Harry Wilson, really, and find himself at home.
It feels like it. Have we got any takers at that? Or do you think he'll go out before the transfer window?
Yeah, he will, yeah. I think it'll be a permanent move. Liverpool, sort of in that position of...
There's no point keeping
him. Alone, he's got 2 years left on his contract. You know, the value that they're going to lose doesn't, you know, whatever he does on loan won't boost his value enough because the contract will be expiring. They're not going to give him a new contract. I don't even know if he'd sign it, to be perfectly honest. So you're looking at that and you're thinking, okay, time's running out, but he's had interest, I think, through his agent of Greek clubs. I think Olympiakos is the one. I think Club Bruges maybe are in that mix as well from Belgium, and he's had Werder Bremen have inquired about it. So he's going to have some options. I wouldn't be surprised if it's a bit of a strange one. You know, we've seen a few of those. I mean, Ben went to Hearts. I suppose that's a bit left field, but not really. But I wouldn't be surprised if it's a European move for him because, you know, he's played England under 21. He's played 160 games. He's played in France with Reims. I think he might have some takers on the continent.
Okay, we'll move on then. There were some rumours early on in the summer, wasn't there, about Nico Williams going out and, you know, when he was going to Wales and stuff like that, there was rumours that he'd asked and requested a transfer and all that type of stuff. But it looks like right now, with just a few days of the transfer and the left, is it Tuesday next week? Is it Tuesday night, the 31st? Yeah. It doesn't look like he's going anyway. Is this a good thing for Liverpool?
I think so, yeah. I was surprised the way that story sort of, or not the way it came out, that it came out, because I felt like one it put Conor Bradley in a bit of an unfair position. It was sort of said,
big focus on a lad there as well,
sell Nico Williams because Conor Bradley's coming through, and he's like, well, you know, come on, like, steady on. But I think Nico's a better player than a lot of people think, and I think as a squad player and as a squad right back, I think he's pretty good. And I think Liverpool, you know, I get the position that they were in where they think, well, if he wants to leave and he's thinking, well, he's not going to get past Trent into the side. We know that. That's not going to happen. And he's not particularly willing to do it. But I wonder whether he's had a look at that summer and he's had a look at some of the clubs around and thought, you know what, you have a look over the edge of the cliff sometimes and say, am I ready to become a Brighton player or a Southampton player at 21, you know? Or would I benefit more from a couple of years playing 15 games in a season, which there's every chance he will, you know, playing in the Champions League, potentially in the group stages at the back end, or playing in the League Cup, FA Cup. So I think that there's a little bit of a cooling in that. You look as well, some of the options have gone for him. Southampton have bought, look like they've got themselves a pretty good right back there in Livermento out of Chelsea. I don't think Brighton will be coming for him. I mean, they've got Tariq Lamptey who's to come back from injury. Not many other places to go, really, you know, or doesn't feel like there's many other places to go in the Premier League. And if he's not going to the Premier League, what's he going to do really at this stage? So I think it would be beneficial. If I was advising Nico, I'd be saying, come on, give it another year. You know, there's every chance you're going to play some games.
You've not had an offer from someone who you think, yes, brilliant.
Yeah, exactly.
So
yeah.
Why rock the boat almost when you know that Jürgen's still going to trust you?
Yeah, and I also think, I'm saying I think he's a much better player than people think. He's obviously not Trent. Anyone's a downgrade on Trent. Anyone, really, in a right-back terms. But you're looking at, you know, where does he start? Where would you send him in the Premier League and go, you will definitely start every game? I still think there's a question mark over pretty much any club in the Premier League, maybe. I mean, you know, look at even Norwich, you've got Max Ahrens, and you think, well, is he going to replace him? Yeah, you know, probably not. Brentford, possibly. I mean, different systems and that kind of thing. So I think there's some development for him to do even before he's guaranteed to start for another Premier League club.
You're right. Is he a defensive right back? No. Well, that probably cross half the teams off.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
Straight away. Yeah. And is he good enough to start for one of the top teams at right back?
No, he's not.
No.
He's got loads of potential, I think. I don't, you know, okay. I was a bit surprised with Liverpool. So for example, Liverpool let Keanu Hoover go to Wolves, and I thought that was a bad sale personally. Might have been part of the Jota deal. There's a little bit of, I think, Hoover thinking he was ready to go and play a few more games, which he's done. I think he started the first game of the season for Wolves this year. But you could see where he could go and play, Keanu Hoover. You know, Wolves, when he saw he was going to Wolves, you thought,
three at the back, it's a good system.
Right centre-back, right wing-back, right back if they want to change the system. Yeah, plenty there. With Nico, it's a bit more tough. I think Liverpool's probably the best fit for him in terms of, in terms of the way he plays. So it's harder to see him. But listen,
and he's not like a Bale where you start at left back and you're going to go left wing.
No, he's gone the other way. Nico was a forward and was more of a winger. He's gone back anyway, in that regard. So yeah, he's not going to do that. He's not polished. He's got loads of raw potential in terms of his game as anything. I compare him, or have compared him, and I've spoken to people about to Seamus.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/news-ad-free. That's amazon.com/news-ad-free to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Coleman, he reminds me a lot of Seamus Coleman. He's just a bit relentless. He just keeps going, plays a bit with his head down at times. He's a little bit rushed at times, but, he's got a lot of tenacity and he has sort of unusual moments in him that he can just dribble between two or three players and he's away all of a sudden, a bit different to Trent in terms of Trent's his distribution of the ball. Nico's probably more his carrying, but I think he's got improvements to come. But I think another year at Liverpool would do him no harm at all, personally.
Yeah, and I think right now with where we are with the likes of Conor Bradley and how old he is and stuff like that, there's a hole in the squad for a backup right back. And
yeah,
not only that, it's different to a couple of years ago when Gomez was just coming into the side and he was getting minutes at centre half and he was getting minutes at right back. I think what we've seen now, and I think it's fair to say, is that with Trent, and actually, Tsimikas and Robertson as a marker of when you don't have to change the style of play for your fullbacks, then Liverpool are in a much better position.
Yeah, exactly that.
And that's it, isn't it? Tsimikas is going to play the same way as Robbo, not as good a player, but playing really well. Williams is going to play exactly the same as Trent.
Yeah.
That means that the other 10 players don't have to change every time Trent's not in the side, which is massive.
Indeed. And also, you talk about, let's just say Liverpool were going to sell and buy a right back. You've seen how long it took Tsimikas to get up to speed. It's difficult. It's not a case of I'm bringing Max Aarons up again, but he's just in my head there in terms of Max Aarons. Let's say Liverpool went, okay, we're going to get him. It could take him a year before he's ready anyway to even play the amount of games that Nico would have played last year or have played the year before or might play this year. So it's not that easy to just sort of say, yeah, we can upgrade there because the system is so specific that it needs time anyway and probably bringing in a fullback late in the window doesn't really fit Liverpool anyway, but it certainly doesn't help them in that settling
and
process.
We didn't see the best of Nico Williams last year. We just didn't. We didn't see the best of any Liverpool player last season. So how can you expect a young right back filling in for the best right back in world football to show his worth? And I think the stuff that happened outside of football with the social media and his accounts and all that type of stuff. I remember thinking, he'd have got an applause at Anfield. We'd have supported him. We'd have rode him through
so
that.
So the game, it was Lincoln, wasn't it? It was the game where he gave away a goal. And I think he had a penalty at Brighton later in the season. But he played Arsenal the week after. They played two cup games early in the season, the last year, Liverpool, in the Carabao. And he played Arsenal. And he had a really tough start to the game. And by the end, he was playing really, he really got it. I think he made this real big challenge. Whoever it was playing on the left, might have been Reece Nelson or might have even been Saka, whoever was playing on the left for Arsenal. And I was thinking, God, I wish Anfield was full for that because it would have been a sort of, go on, Nico.
Like Kostas at the weekend.
Yeah, of course. Exactly that. And do you remember Nat Phillips coming and playing against Everton in the FA Cup. He come back from Stuttgart.
Yeah.
And he had a nightmare start. Dominic Calvert-Lewin threw him all around Anfield, and you thought, oh, Nats, come on. And he just went, into our halfway line, smashed, I think, Richarlison. And it was a mass. And he spoke to me about that and said, until I did that, I was done. You know, I was gone here as a Liverpool player. And he said, as soon as I'd done that, I thought, yeah, they're on me now. You know, and it just gives you that. It's like a little when you have like on FIFA or something, you get a little energy boost. This player starts glowing. Yeah, you know, for a couple of minutes, and you think, yeah, he's in the game now, type of thing. But yeah,
it's all it can take. It's
Nico's never had. Well, not, he has had that. Obviously, he's had the experience of it the previous year, but he hasn't had it since he had that low point, if you like, with the abuse. And I felt sorry for him badly at the time, because probably a lot of people didn't know about it until he did what he did. You know, it wasn't a case of everyone was talking about it and then he reacted to it. It felt a little bit like he drew more attention to it by doing it, which is obviously probably part of the point, and good on him for highlighting it. But I felt, you know, like, I feel like it's in the conversation whenever people talk about Nico, that, oh, he got some stick and stuff like that. And I think that colours people's opinion of him sometimes, and almost make out like he's had a bit of a nightmare Liverpool career. He certainly hasn't. He's set goals up. I've watched him. He's been part of a team that won in the FA Cup with an average age of 20. You know, he put the assist in for the goal. He's set goals up in the Premier League. He's at the Kop End in against Arsenal. You know, he's got a Premier League winner's medal. You know, he's doing okay, Nico. You know, I think people need to remember that. Like, you know, he's 20 years of age.
Thank you very much to Stephen Manning, who has just joined as a wonder kid. So thank you very much, mate. Really appreciate that one.
What's that?
Is a membership for YouTube. So as a wonder kid, you get an extra video, which is the final word show on like a Monday for the weekend's game. Plus you get the emojis and everything else.
The Kate Gordon
So we'll move on then. It's the big question that everyone's probably wanting me to ask you at the moment. You gonna do any business? Ins, because no one cares about out. Ins.
Of course, yeah. I am not in anything, and that's
that good or bad?
It depends what you think of me, I suppose. But yeah, I wouldn't say it's terrible. You know, like, it doesn't. That's not sort of.
Doesn't mean they're not going to sign anyone. Just you haven't heard.
It just means I've not heard anything. I've got no shame or damaged pride in saying
did
that.
Did you know about Jota? Did you get an inkling of Jota or Fabinho? One of those ones.
Fabinho was complete. I knew Liverpool were going to sign a midfielder that summer. I had no idea it was Fabinho, and I had no idea it was going to happen 2 days after Kiev when I was sleeping off. You know, a weekend. I actually woke up to notifications that said Liverpool are interested in Fabinho. Liverpool have agreed to fee Fabinho. Liverpool have unveiled Fabinho.
This escalated quickly.
How long have I been asleep? But I didn't have a handle on it. I think Jorginho was sort of more linked, and I felt like that was one that Liverpool were going to go down, and obviously they didn't. They went Fabinho. Jota, I mean, that came quite quick on the back of Thiago. And again, that escalated pretty quickly. But yeah, I had a bit of an inkling on that one. But there's others that I'm trying to think what other ones catch you out, really. I mean, Minamino was pretty well signposted, I think. You know, obviously signed a few weeks before he actually arrived, didn't he? Thiago was signposted. I mean, I couldn't really get a big handle on that story. It came from Germany. It came from the Bayern side. I wouldn't say it's a bad thing that I don't know anything. All I would say is it's unusual for Liverpool to be active late in the transfer window, you know, and Klopp's quotes have been, you can read into them. I know a lot of people like to read between the lines, but I think they are quite black and white. They are quite like, well, I don't need more players, you know, like, if it's the right player, we might look to do something, but we're not just going to sort of say, oh, quick, just get a couple of players in because we've got a space in the squad. It needs to be the right, you know, it needs to be the right deal. It would be unusual for Liverpool to be buying players in the last few days of the transfer window. It's just not what they've done generally down the years.
Ox is probably one of the ones I remember. It was
Davis,
not the day before.
Davis and Kabak was that, but that was an extreme circumstance, and that was, you know, and you would also say it didn't really work, did it? You know, in the greatest sense, but maybe it did in the sense of it just steadied the ship for a couple of weeks with Kabak, but they weren't sort of signings that they nailed them in the last days. They were very much emergency signings, and that's how it turned out.
Yeah, okay. We're going to talk a little bit more about Liverpool's squad in the Transfer Insight Extra over on the RedmenTV.com after this show. That'll be up later today. Really analysing the squad properly and looking at whether Liverpool really do need to sort of sign anybody, to be honest with you. But a couple more things I'd like to talk about. Saúl Núñez is obviously being offered out on loan, if you believe reports at the moment. I think I've seen what I like to do sometimes with transfer rumours, right, is type every club's name and put the name. Liverpool, and then blah, blah, blah. But it came up with Chelsea, it came up with Manchester United, actually came up with Arsenal as well. When you're actually just Googling these things, there's always a random one from somewhere, like, you know what I mean, that pulls them all in. Why are they like offering him out?
They've just signed obviously Rodrigo De Paul, haven't they, from Udinese, and I think they're quite excited about him. I think it looks like he's going to be the main midfield man. Sal, you know, I have to say, I mean, La Liga knowledge has gone off a cliff a little bit because I don't have whatever channel it's on now. But you used to be right on top of La Liga with Sky, didn't you? You know, you sort of like you get a good look at players and Revista and whatever, and you feel what's going on. But I believe he's moved around quite a bit. I think he's played fullback last year. You know, he's been an in and out of the side. I mean, I thought he was a brilliant player, Sal. When he played against Liverpool in the Champions League, him and the other guy who went to Arsenal, Thomas Partey, I was like, God, I wouldn't like to play against them every week. You know, those two are serious midfielders. But it looks like he's not in favour with them. It's clear that I think his agents have been trying to get him out, because there's been so many stories about him. I mean, how many stories have we heard from Liverpool have made a bid, or preparing a bid, or thinking about a bid, have upped their bid, have rejected their bid? You know,
have been offered,
and now it's all of a sudden it's Chelsea and Manchester United want him on loan with an obligation to buy. Look, his wages, I was told early in the summer, were always a stumbling block with Liverpool, regardless of whether they wanted a midfielder or not, or whether they wanted it. His wages were higher than any midfielder at the club, you know. And if you bear in mind that they are negotiating with one of the midfielders of the club at the moment over a new contract to bring a guy in on 250, 300 grand a week, wouldn't have helped that, I'm pretty certain. Especially one that, you know, he's a very, very good player. Does he go straight into Liverpool's team? I think there's a question to be asked there. They've got an awful lot of players in that position at the moment. I know that comes with the giant caveat of fitness and injuries. So I think that always made that a difficult one, especially the transfer fee, I think, would be about 30 million as well. So you're looking at that, as we did the arithmetic earlier in the show, with, you know, that
half a million a year, just pay him half a million a year, it's fine.
It's a fair load of money, you know, for that. I mean, on loan with an obligation to buy, sounds okay, doesn't it? It doesn't sound like Chelsea and Manchester United are absolutely battering the door down themselves over that. So I don't know what really is at play there, but there's no question that his agent's been keen to get him out and probably been keen to get him to the Premier League. No secret why, really. I think that's where the money is at the moment, other than Paris Saint-Germain.
Yeah, no, that's true. Okay, one more final little thing then. Do you have any inkling as to why Divock was left out of the matchday squad last week?
I don't, no.
Is it transfer related? Is the follow-up to that, I suppose?
I don't know, is the question why he was left out of the squad. Sorry, the answer to the question. He's trained this week, so he's not injured. Shaqiri didn't really, I don't think Shaqiri was in training at all, sort of in the last 10 days when it was clear that he was going to be leaving. I asked about Fenerbahce being interested in Divock this week. I spoke to a couple of people in Turkey who were sort of pushing that notion. I was told there's nothing in that he's Fenerbahce aren't in for him. So that's one to sort of rule out. It's a difficult one, isn't it?
Have you asked about any of the other 300 clubs?
I have to ration those asks, really, because otherwise you'd just be like, okay, what about Porto? What about blah, blah, blah? But
you might be asking the wrong question. You should just ask, is anyone interested?
Is anyone? Yeah. But you sort of, it's difficult to do that. But
why is it difficult to do that?
Well, because the job is to check out. You've got to get the you have to be out getting the info.
So you have to.
You can't go fishing. I can't just go fishing. Say any you know anything going on. You know that's a sort of anything going on. You know people might say yeah. You know Mbappe question mark.
So what you're saying is if you go, a Fenerbahce interested, and they will sort of go to you.
Well, you're
right there, mate.
You should do. Yeah, it depends who you're asking. Obviously, different sources, different people. Some people will just tell you things that you yeah, didn't have a clue about, you know, we'll just drop something on. But generally, yeah, if I'm checking, let's say checking something out, I can't really just go latest with Divock.
You know, I really, was on News Now. Yeah, this morning,
yeah, it has to be bit grounded in some sort of, like, there needs to be some kind of, you know, I need to be bringing something to the table, really, rather than just, you know, like I say, fishing. But it's a tough one, Origi, isn't it? You know,
that was interesting, that mate.
Yeah, it's tough with Origi that he needs to go, doesn't he?
Yeah.
In my opinion, he needs to go for himself, for his own career. Liverpool clearly, at the moment, and it does change this, and I think that's important to say that he's behind Minamino at the moment, but that easily changes. You know, you think back really to January, Minamino was loaned out, Origi was kept at the club, so that can switch around. But he's behind Minamino. It's difficult to see. The cup draw's just been made. He's got Norwich. Maybe playing that game, but I don't know. I think it might just depend. I still think he's probably the sort of player that you could imagine an offer coming in late in the window. You know, someone just who's like tried maybe three or four other strikers, maybe looked and just decided, come on, Divock's the one. You know, might be in the Premier League, it might be abroad, but I could see him moving before the end of the window. Personally, I think if the offer's right, I think Liverpool will definitely, they will take it. But I also think it's time for Divock to go. Come on, thanks for everything.
I think that's right, mate. Neil, that's been an absolute pleasure, mate. If you want more of Neil Jones and Chris Pajak, then you can go over to the redbentv.com. Transfer Insight Extra will be on there later on this afternoon, where we will be talking, as mentioned before, about Liverpool's squad, whether we actually need to sign, and we'll also talk a little bit about the players that are rumoured to go out. We've obviously just done Divock Origi here, so we'll talk a little bit about maybe Nath Phillips, Reece Williams, is there a potential for them to move on? We're going to talk about Firmino and Salah's contract situation as well, because rumours are Liverpool are entering into contract talks with Roberto Firmino, so that would be nice. So go over there and subscribe. But before you go, check out this advert for our very incredible Jordan Henderson 10 Years of Red, the book, a zine. It is absolutely fantastic, and signed versions are up on the shop. Check this out, have a look at it, and go over there and buy it. Thank you very much, and we'll see you all soon. Ta-ra.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.